Good evening. This is a lot of fun. I've had the opportunity to know our speaker for at least the last 10 years, maybe longer, I'm not sure, through our Youth Explosion adventures in the summer. I've heard his testimony, I've heard his heart, but I was led to encourage. Matthew 7 talks about you'll know by their fruit, and the fruit that comes from Jeff and Lori's ministry starts in their own family. They have three beautiful children. Dustin is here this evening. They're people of worship. I've watched their kids worship. They've played and led people in worship, and that's part of their youth ministry. They lead the youth ministry at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Columbus Grove, Ohio, and their youth have a passion for worship, and it's because Jeff and Lori walk it in front of them. I've heard Jeff speak many times, and I was thinking one of my favorite ones, and he may not even remember the talk, but he did a whole talk about you got to get out of the boat. And we use that with our kids often, and Kevin and I will throw it at each other every once in a while. You got to get out of the boat. But by day, Jeff is the IT director at Ohio Northern University. Tonight, he gets to be our speaker. So I give you Mr. Jeff Riemann.
Wow. I think so. That's pretty awesome. This was awesome. It's the first time I've ever been to a service here, so... hats off to you guys. It's awesome to see you guys getting out of your boat, I guess. Since Angie introduced me, I'll tell you who I really am. Because I do this for a reason. I'll tell you, I'm just a guy. I have no formal training as a pastor or youth pastor or anything like that. I've never been told how to make a sermon. I've never been told how to do any of this. I don't even think I've ever stepped in a seminary, so I'm the most unqualified speaker that you've probably ever heard here. But God puts me here for a reason, I guess. When I choose my messages, I tell you I'm just a guy because I choose my messages because I choose them because I'm a very broken guy. And I always share on the things that God is working on in my life. I always share on the things that God puts on my heart. The things that God's working in me, and I figure if he's working on it in me, it's probably something that you guys can use also. Now, I'll preface that by saying I'm usually speaking to junior high and high school kids, so if I throw a ball at you or something, if you're not paying attention, just ignore me. So, but the title of my message is Rooted in the Fullness of Christ. So I'm a firm believer that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, at that very moment, God instills a deep desire in us to change the world. I think that's one of the things that, as being a Christian and having God within us, having Jesus in our hearts, I'm going to trip over that step. So I'm going to warn you right now. You can all laugh when I do it. I'm a firm believer that when we do that, we have a desire at that point in our lives to change the world. Not just change the world, but change the world in a lasting way. We want to make an impact in the world. And we want to do that because we can pour out of us what we have in us. And when we have God's love in us, we start to want to pour that love back out. So in order to pour that love out, we begin this race, this journey of ours when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We start to spring up ministries, right? In churches, we spring up ministries and we start prophetic services. We start missionary trips. We start outreaches into the communities. These are all good things, right? These are good things. In fact, they're great things. It's what God called us to do. It's one of the functions of the church. And we should be seeing a lot more of these things in our churches. But I have news for you. I'm going to try to keep my screens synchronized here. I have news for you. Anyone can start a race. Right? I'm not going to look like these two athletes up there because I told you I'm broken. Mine would look more like this, maybe. Maybe get down like this, but I'm never probably going to get down in that position. But anybody can start a race. It's a fact. Anybody can start a race. That's the easy part of the race even, right? It's the part we celebrate. It's like, yeah, we're getting cheered up. We're getting fired up. We're getting ready to send our runners out. We're getting ready to start that race. We celebrate it. We even celebrate it when we do this in our ministries, right? We have dedications. We just had one last week in Columbus Grove. They started a youth center. It's a great thing. We celebrated it. We do that. We celebrated it. However, the real question isn't about how we start the race. It's about how we finish. Finishers are impressive. God wants finishers. The problem is we tend to gauge our success of starting, running, and finishing a race through the eyes of man. Right? We start looking at the number of converts we have, the number of people we've touched. We look around to see what others are doing. Right? And that's how we start to gauge our success. I don't think there's many things that'll shut down a ministry faster than comparing yourself to another ministry. Right, but we all do that, right? We, you know, we over in Columbus Grove, I look at what Marion Christian Center is doing, and I'm like, oh, man, what are they doing? I'm not even close to that right now. I'm not there in my life. I start comparing myself and looking at things, and I start focusing on what other people are doing, what other God's doing in other people, and I miss what God's doing right here because I'm so worried about what's going on somewhere else. And I think we do that on a church level also a lot of times. If I can say that, that's the other thing I should have said. If I hurt someone's feelings in here tonight, it's because God's speaking it to me, and I'm just kind of saying it back to you guys. So just know that when I say something hurtful, maybe it's really mine. So I do this. But as churches, we start comparing our church to other churches. We've got to make sure we're keeping up with the church down the street so we can keep doing the things they're doing. We can keep up with them. We can keep our people happy. We can keep our people coming back. But we'll never thrive in the place God put us until we stop comparing ourselves and accept the fact that God gave us this job. God chose me for this job. God handpicked me. It's funny, a lot of the prophetic words, as you guys were speaking the prophetic words, I was like, man, that's in my message. That's in my message. That's in my message. Even back there in the thing, I was like, wow, you guys are great. I'm not even going to have to do this tonight. But God chose me. God chose me to be here tonight. God chose you to do your job. God chose you to run your race. We got to stop comparing ourselves to the others. Amen. But the real question is, what happens when the gun goes off? What happens to you when the gun goes off? You start that race, right? If we want to just not just start the race, but finish the race, we have to get beyond our superficial aspects of our relationship with God. Because what happens when we hit that first hurdle? What happens when we do that first stumble? What happens when we fall down that first time? What happens? We're running a race. We started the race. It's a good race. God gave me this race to run. What happens? I came up with like three things that would probably happen. I'll go in order because, and I'll admit to the one I am. The first one is we fall down and we quit. I'm going to be 100% totally honest with you tonight. That's me tonight. My life is hard right now. I mean, it is hard. My wife and I are walking through some stuff and it's like, wow. And then you walk through some church stuff and you're like, wow. I thought this is where it's supposed to get easier. I go to work and it's like, wow. And I come back home and it's like, well, that didn't go away. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to quit. Am I allowed to say that without getting crucified? I do. Unfortunately, God won't let me yet. Because every time my wife and I, she's going to cry when I start talking. Anytime my wife and I start talking and praying about this, it's like always, I say, oh, man, it just doesn't check on my spirit that I'm supposed to walk away from this yet. I'm not to the finish line yet. Second thing is we slowly get, we get knocked down and we slowly get up, a little dazed and confused, and we're like, whoo. We look around, make sure no one saw us fall. It's like, we maybe take a drink of Gatorade or two and we're going to catch our breath a little bit and we start running, but we carry that fall with us for a while. You know, or maybe our knees bleeding, maybe we didn't take care of ourselves after that fall quite right, but we carry that fall with us as we go. If that's you tonight, I'm going to tell you, you need to take care of yourself, because sooner or later, that weight of those falls is going to get you down to the point where you can't get back up. You need to take care of yourselves. The third is where I want to be, is we don't miss a stride. You know, we do one of them graceful tumbles, tumble, and we get back up and we're still in stride, right? I've never done that. I'm the guy that's like, oh, got to make sure I don't hit the microphone. You know, I get up, my nose is bleeding, and I'm like, phew. That's where we want to be, though, right? We don't want to miss a stride when we fall. The falls are going to happen, whether we're perfect or we're not perfect like me. The falls are going to happen. It's how we get back up. It's how we adjust to those. But I would argue that these three things, how we react, which one of these three things happens to us, is directly related to how we're rooted. Because those things are going to happen. So let's look at Colossians 2, 6 and 7. I'm always put up on the screen, so you can turn to it if you want. I'm just going to read it to you. But it's easier for me just to throw it up there because then I have it right in front of me. So it says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. The verse doesn't stop there, right? It doesn't stop with, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord. But unfortunately, that's where our churches stop a lot of times. It's, you received Jesus Christ as your Lord. Get out there in the world. Go get them, Tiger. Then we're like, did he come back this week? Whew. He came back. Or it's like, he should have came back. Doesn't he know he's a Christian? But that's not where it stops. This is a two-step process, right? Just as we received Christ Jesus our Lord and continue to live our lives, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See, we need to continue and grow. We need to figure out where to plant ourselves, where to get those roots. We need to get our roots in who? I'm a youth pastor, remember? We're going to get our roots in where? All right, we need to get our roots in Jesus. We need to get our roots out of the things that the world puts in front of us, because the enemy's good at putting roots in front of us, the things that we think we need. Right, because in my head, I'm a kind of an analytical thinker. I'm an IT guy, so I like to kind of like, if you know us, we like to plan them out and think them out. I need to get my head out of that sometimes, because I think of what I need to do, what God has told me to do. And in my head, I start to go, okay, here's the things I need. And I need to get those roots out of my own mind and into the things of Christ. When we do that, we begin to pull the things we need to grow spiritually from the one true source, and then we flourish. My wife and I are gardeners, right? I don't need my glasses. It's all right. My wife and I are gardeners, and I love tomatoes. I love cherry tomatoes. So I know where in my garden to plant the cherry tomatoes, right? I plant them in the very front, farthest away from the maple tree. They get good sun. I know the soil's good there. I know where to plant the stuff I need to flourish. We need to do that same thing in our spiritual lives. We need to plant our spiritual lives into the areas that we know are going to flourish, that we know are going to get the nutrients that we need to do. We don't just flourish then, but we begin to produce fruit, right? My cherry tomatoes, they don't just grow. They actually produce something. They produce fruit, which is, Angie talked about fruit, and I was like, wow, that's in my message. See, but we get so hung up on this, and this is kind of where you're going to be like, Jeff, that's just crazy. Because Christ doesn't want us just to produce fruit. He has some very specific qualities to the fruit that he wants us to produce. And I started to think about that. I'm like, oh, that's true. That's very true. So we're gonna jump to John 15. That's the fruit verses, right? Oh, I got to click on this one too. When I talk, I need to drink water too, so bear with me. So John 15, 8 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear what kind of fruit? Much fruit. Doesn't that go against everything we've ever been taught? Haven't we always been taught, well, if you just change one life, if you just change one thing, if you just get one thing done, you're going to be good, because that's the job God gave you. I think the problem is we have a misconception on what fruit is. We tend to think of fruit as going to church. Check. There's some fruit. I came to a Friday night at the center. Check. There's some fruit. I read my Bible today. Check. There's some more fruit. And maybe I got a convert. Check. Hey, that's good fruit. But I have news for you. Fruit isn't a bunch of spiritual activities. Again, anybody can do that, right? I can take some guy off the street, bring him in here tomorrow, and it's not fruit. He just came to a service. Instead, fruit is when someone tastes your life, when someone sees your life, when someone comes and takes a big bite out of Jeff, they taste Jesus. I'm like, wow, when you think about it that way, producing much fruit really isn't that tough of a job. Because every day I should live my life like Jesus lived his life. When I'm walking down the street in Pandora, we've got one stoplight. When I walk past Ted's, when I park past Ted's Market, people should go, wow, there goes Jeff Raymond. He looks just like Jesus. Wow. They should all be going, wow, he looks Christ-like. Wow, did you see him stop and talk to that lady who was having a hard time? That's something Jesus would do. Did you see when he went over there and just prayed for that lady? That's something Jesus would do. Sometimes we're going to have bigger things, and we're going to get up and speak, and people will react, and we'll have awesome services, and we'll get converts, and it's like, wow, that's great. But really, fruit is just looking like Jesus. It's tasting like Jesus. When the world sees me, they should see Jesus. The problem is we only relate it to the number of converts we have, right? It's like, wow, that guy's got some good fruit in his church because he's got a mega church and he's got all this fruit and he's got people coming to know Jesus. It's like, wow, that's great. But fruit isn't just getting people to accept Jesus. It's about showing them who Jesus is. It's about going over and mowing my neighbor's lawn. He's like 89 or something. He's getting old. I should have looked before I... Is there anybody that's that old? Young. He's 89 years youngish, has cancer, and I go over and mow his lawns for him. I show him Jesus. Amen. You know, I haven't even really witnessed to him, but the neighbor next to him, I go over and snow blow his driveway. And one day he came out and he said, how did you know I hurt my foot? I said, I didn't, but Jesus told me I was supposed to come over here and mow your... And he's like, wow, I really appreciate that. That's fruit. The problem is, like I said, in churches, we don't see that as fruit. We see that as the only thing that's fruit is getting them converts. But the problem is the most effective way to get converts is converts is to show them Jesus, right? These are the activities that bring people into the church. These are the people that impact them. And then they go, wow, he's got something different. I want some of that. I can speak up here till I'm, I told you I speak to these young and old. And I can speak till I'm blue in the face, but none of them are going to know Jesus until they experience Jesus. Until I show them Jesus' love. It's not about me telling them. It's about me showing them. It's about my life showing what that is and what that means. The second quality that I pulled out of here is in John 15:16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit that lasts. I'll be honest, I think the church is failing. Right? Because we get that convert and we just go, you're out on your own, you're out on your own. You know, we don't bring them into services like here and speak life over them. We don't have these awesome discipleship programs where after we teach someone about Jesus, we bring them back in and we produce that fruit that lasts. I have a real hang up with these big mega evangelical movements where you have, hundreds of people flood forth and they, it's good. Don't get me wrong. I want them to accept Jesus in their heart, but where do those people go the next day? That's not fruit. Something's wrong there. If it was truly like effective and efficient, man, our churches would be full nowadays, wouldn't they? I'm just, in my head, I'm like trying to rationalize it. It doesn't, yeah. I'm going to look from even now when you're agreeing with me. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to come over here and speak to you for a while. But it's true, right? Our churches would be full if that was effective. We're not producing fruit that lasts. This hurt when I said it and I wrote it, but God's not impressed with your temporary results. A couple of people said amen. I went, oh, God, do you really want me to say that? But he's not, right? God has an eternal perspective. Me getting saved or bearing fruit and then going back tomorrow and doing something totally different, falling away from Christ, does nothing for the kingdom. It's got to be eternal. It's got to be lasting. It's got to be lasting fruit. If it's not, we're falling short of the expectation that God has for our lives. When I wrote it, I hurt. Our goal is to produce fruit that lasts. That means, Angie said, we have a heart for worship. I truly believe that if you want fruit that lasts, you have to experience it. I can't tell you about the love of God without you experiencing it and having it last. Angie said we love to worship in our youth group, and we do. It's one of them things my wife and I, we started, and she like kept pushing me to start it, and I was like, I ain't got to do it. Finally, we broke down, and we did, and it's like, wow, I told you that's what we were supposed to do. But man, when we worship in youth group, the youth really get to experience God's love. It was several years back when we were... pretty soon after we got started, and we were singing "How He Loves Us." You know, "How He Loves Us" was such a big song, and we were singing it, and it was the last song of the set for the night, and Morgan finished it, and I went up there and I picked up the microphone, and I was getting ready to, I was going to bring the house down on a prayer, and I picked up that microphone, and just before I started to speak, God went, "Jeff, shut up." God ever told you guys to shut up? Like, oh. I was like, "You sure?" Like, "Jeff, shut up." So I kind of took the mic and I set it back down, and I took a step back. And as I took that step back, Morgan started singing out in the spirit. And it changed from "How He Loves Us" to "How We Love Him and We Thank Him." And it just, the words started changing and the words started morphing. And I think each and every youth started like singing out in different verses and spirit and singing in the spirit. And I was like, "Oh, They're experiencing it. They're getting it. Not from this gray-haired old man, but they're getting it from the one true source God's pouring out to them right now." And I almost flubbed it up by picking up the microphone. It was good. But if they don't experience it, they're gonna start confusing God's love with the love of man. They're going to start going, "Okay, this is what Jeff said. Okay, Jeff did this, Jeff did that, Jeff did this. And it's going to be good, Jeff. But if they experience it from God, it becomes God-centered. It becomes straight from him. And it becomes true. So quantity and quality require strong roots. Right? That's why I picked my cherry tomatoes. And I'll tell you, there's an asparagus patch right here. Cherry tomatoes go... right next to it. I don't know what there is about the soil right there, but it is good soil and it produces good tomatoes. But if we want to produce abundance in our lives, we have to plant our lives in good soil. Not just good soil, the best soil. The soil that has everything we need to produce the fruit that God desires. So how do we go about getting the strong roots to produce for God's glory? Does anybody know? We read it a little bit. Who do we put our roots in? Jesus, right? Well, it's biblical. We put it in Jesus. So I'll be honest. I was in worship one day, and I probably had a bad attitude to start. I don't know. But I do that sometimes. I'm human. And then we started singing "All I Need Is You." And I'm like, "Man, what is this, like throwback Sunday?" I'm like, "Yeah, all I need is you, Lord." You know, I threw my hands up a little bit, and I'm like looking around, like, "Are we done here yet? This is not getting me, God." And I threw in that little intense look every once in a while. I was holy that day. And then all of a sudden, God said, "Jeff, what do you need?" And I went, "Oh, come on. Don't do this now. Can't you see I'm in a bad..." There was probably a Browns game on in a little bit, and I'm like, "Got to get home, watch them lose. I got to get going here." And I said, I'm like, "Okay, God, I'll go with this. I'm singing it. All I need is you. It's true. All I need is you." And as I started singing it, I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'm starting to get into this a little bit. All I need is you, God. And we kept singing and singing and singing. And he stopped me again. And he said, Jeff, but what do you want? And I went, God, I want all of you. See, in my head, I was taking Jesus and I was putting my roots down in this little part of him. I was putting my roots down in the part that made me feel comfortable. Right? We do that. Don't we do that? We go, okay, this is the part of Jesus I like. Oh, give me your love. I want some of that. I'm a big love guy. Give me some of your love. I'll put my roots there. Yeah, that's good. Give me some of the prophetic. I like prophetic. I love worship. Give me some of that. I'm going to put my roots into the things I like of Jesus. See, I started containing the uncontainable. I started picking and choosing the parts of Jesus that I wanted. And when I finally went, oh, you know what, God? I don't want just want Jesus. I want all of you. I want every little piece of you. I want the pieces that make me feel a little uncomfortable. It's true, right? Some of those things, sometimes we get convicted. I'm like, whew. I even want some of that because I know I'm growing at that point. I need to stop compartmentalizing Christ. I need to start putting my roots into all of them. I need to stop trying to take control of the aspects of Christ where my life goes. I'm all over my notes at this point. Whew. But finally, I did say, you know, I want all of you. I want all of you. I want all of you because I need all of you. I can't do any of this without all of you. Because as soon as I try to do some of it without all of them, the enemy's going to go, that area of his life is lacking. Guess where I'm going to hit? I got news for you. The enemy is studying your life too. You know, God's not the only one that knows it. The enemy is studying your life. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where your roots aren't. And he's going to start hitting those areas. I can't do any of what God's called me to do without all of Jesus. I got good news. We'll jump back to Colossians 2, 9 through 10. I'm going to grab a drink. It says, for in Christ, right, that's who we're supposed to be rooted in. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Everybody's fullness of deity. Oh, let's just try it easier then. Say fullness. Youth, think. Say fullness.
Fullness.
All right. So in Christ, we have fullness, right? That's a good thing. For in Christ, we have all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. That should excite some people. When we start to plant our roots in the fullness, we get fullness in return. See, as my roots become implanted in the fullness, I begin to produce the fruit that has both quality and quantity. And that's the kind of fruit God wants me to produce. He wants both things. A quality and quantity that I can't do on my own. A quality and quantity that no program, no service, no church function can ever duplicate. I don't care how hard we try in our churches, we can't duplicate that fullness. People will just see Christ in my life and say, I want all of that. They will experience it, they will see it, they will taste it, and they will want more. Not of Jeff Riemann, not of Church of the Good Shepherd, not of our youth ministry, but they'll see that life belongs to Christ, that life is firmly planted in Christ. So do I want Christ? No, I want all of them. I want everything he has to offer me. And right now you're going, he is the most selfish Christian in the world. See, I don't want just the fun stuff. I want it all. It would be easy. Christian walk would be easy if it was just the fun stuff, wouldn't it? But I'm here to tell you that God expects us to be selfish. I want all of it. I want all Jesus has to offer. Even the pieces that convict me. Even the pieces that make me feel a little uncomfortable. I don't want just the warm and fuzzy, because the warm and fuzzy leads to weak Christians. Because sooner or later, your walk is not going to be warm and fuzzy. My walk, is our walk warm and fuzzy right now? She's shaking her head no. It's not. It seems like every time we turn around, someone's throwing a rock at us. A big one. But right now you're going, that dude is flat out crazy. Right? Because there's no way that I can do all that stuff. right? There's no way I can operate in all these different areas of my life. There's no way that 24/7 I can operate in evangelistic, and I can operate in prophetic, and I can operate in healing, and I can operate in love, and I can do service, and I can do this. I'm just going to be tired by tomorrow. I'm going to flat out tell you that. And you're thinking I'm crazy saying I can do it, because I can't. That's why God gave me my wife. She compliments me in every perfect way. God went, wow, you're going to need her someday. He was right. I do. He gave me my children. They spur me on. They bring these spiritual gifts, and I'm like, wow, man, God, you did good there. They gave me two parents that loved me and showed love, not just to me, but like 72 foster kids. I think that's where I got my love stuff from. They gave me Pastor Mike. They gave me Pastor Perry's not here today, but he doesn't even know it, but he's one of my spiritual mentors. He's like one of those guys that when I'm around, I'm just like, yeah, give it to me. Come on. You don't know I'm listening. You don't even know what I'm processing here, but I'm listening. He gave me friends that are wiser than me. He gave me youth that are more energetic than me. He gave me older people that know how to pray over me. He gave me Joe Stexler in our church who just loves bringing me over for pie and coffee. But when he does that, he like imparts on me. He like gives me nuggets. He prays on me. He's like one of them prayer warriors that I'm like, Joe, dude, Joe, I need some help. And he's like, come on over for some pie and coffee. If you know me, if you ever want me to come back, pie and coffee. I'm on a diet right now. Just go straight for the coffee. I'm an IT guy. I love coffee. But he gave me these guys in my life because God knew I couldn't do it by myself. He knew you guys couldn't do it by yourselves. That's why he surrounded us with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why Marion Christian Center is 1 hour and 10 minutes from Church of the Good Shepherd. And I don't know that we've ever done a joint service together other than like Youth Explosion. I'm like, wow, yeah, why aren't we doing stuff together? God gave Marion Christian Center to the Church of Good Shepherd so we could grow off each other, we could feed off of each other, we could really go and get each other and get things together. See, he surrounded me with all my roots, with all the nutrients that I need. It's called the church. It's called the church. I'm not sure why I'm trying to follow along. But some things can still get in the way, right? It's called me. Me. We tend to take an individualistic approach to things, don't we? How many of you came here tonight so you could be fed? You can raise your hand. I did too. Sometimes it can be about me. But we tend to take that approach to every single thing we go to. It's about me. God, just feed me today. And he will. God's able to supply all my riches according to his riches, or all my needs according to his riches in glory, right? God will take care of me if my roots are in the right place. But it's not just about me. It's about what I bring to the church. Right? Because unfortunately, you guys go like, oh man, he's going to say that you need me. It's true. You guys need Jeff Reiman. I should say, come on, give me a courtesy amen. All right. Wow. You do know you're going to have to listen to me Sunday morning again, don't you? Sunday morning, what is the time? 10:45? Is that the time? Pastor Perry said he's bringing coffee and donuts for everybody who came. And pie. You can tell him I said that. But what are you bringing to church on Sunday morning? Are you coming simply to be fed? Or are you coming to feed? Are you coming just to have someone speak prophetic words over you? Or are you coming to listen to God's voice so that when God says, I have a word for you, let me give it to you, you have the boldness and courage to step forward and do it? We need to realize that in order for others to bear the fruit that God wants them to bear, we need to bring our spiritual gifts to the table. We need to realize that God gave me these gifts for a reason. And they're not just for Jeff Reiman. They're for you guys. They're for the Church of the Good Shepherd. They're for our youth group. They're for my family. They're for my kids. They're for my parents. They're for everybody around me. They should be for the lady walking out of Walmart who I see limping. I go, let me pray for you. Let me show you a little bit about Jesus. It should be for the man in work that just went through a divorce and is like, I shouldn't be going to that guy. And say, hey, just, you know, pour out on me for a little bit. Just give me your troubles. Now let me tell you about the one that can heal those troubles. We need to realize that this isn't just about us. We also need to realize that we're planted where we are for a reason. I was planted in the Church of the Good Shepherd for a reason. right? I was planted there for a reason. In my head, I think, you know, man, Marion Christian Center, it's only an hour down the road. I said hour 10 minutes earlier. Hour 10, I'm driving fast now. Hour down the road, I want to get there. You know, God, why wasn't I planted there? If I could just be there, if I could just be in Marion and I could experience that every day, I could have the prophetic over me, I could have the worship, I could have that. Oh, God, if I was just a part of Jesus culture, I could be around Banning Leafshire and Chris Volton, and I could be over there and I could be doing these great things and Danny Silk, and why can't I be there? And God says, Jeff, just shut up. I planted you where you're at for a reason. Go bear fruit. My fruit. I planted you there for a reason. I have news for you. You guys were planted. Is everybody here from Marion Christian Center? No. No? Is anybody here from Marion Christian Center? Is anybody new Pastor Perry? Okay. Am I in the right place? God planted you in your churches for a reason. You're there for a reason. Bear fruit there. Next thing we do is we get stuck in the mud. My dad would say that's a Ford. Is that a Ford, Dad? That's definitely a Ford. Chevy wouldn't get stuck in the mud. Dad worked for General Motors. So amen. I knew I'd get an amen on that one. Dad worked for General Motors. But one of the problems is we get stuck in the mud sometimes, right? We fall down. We get stuck. And fortunately, it's easy to spot this, isn't it? Does anybody know that this guy has a problem? Anybody here that thinks he doesn't have a problem? He's got a problem. It's easy to spot. He's stuck in the mud. It's easy to recognize when we fall and can't get back up because we're stuck in a season of our lives where we're not supposed to be. It's pretty easy. If you get down honest, you can say, oh, the enemy's deceiving me. No, the Holy Spirit's convicting you too. You know when you're in those seasons of your life. My question is where are the brothers and sisters in Christ to help this guy get out of the mud? We all get there from time to time, right? I told you I want to quit. Where are my brothers and sisters? They're like, look here, Jeff, here's the chain. I got the Chevy sitting out back. Let's pull them out of the mud. We're good. Is anybody in that season of life other than me? Just me? We got one over here. He's like, yeah, I'm good. Where are my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me get out of that? That's our job. That's my job to come up with the Chevy and throw him a log chain and say, just hold on, buddy. We're getting out of this together. I'm almost done, actually. I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how long I've been talking. This is kind of fun. Oh, this is the other place we get stuck, on the hilltop. Oh, they're going to start throwing things at Jeff. I think we get stuck in this one a lot easier, and I think the enemy uses this one much more efficiently because we all experience things we like, right? Good things. We experience good things in our life, good things from God. And the enemy goes, how about you just stay there for a little while? How about you just stay in that place? God put you there. I think the enemy is very good at taking successes in our life and turning them into a successful battle where we start to camp. We start to camp there, right? And churches fall into this more than anyone, I think. It's going to get quiet. Churches fall into this more than anybody, right? We have churches spring up that are prophetic churches. We have churches that spring up that are healing churches. We have evangelistic churches. I want to know where the holistic church is. I want to know where the church is that reflects Jesus. Because those are all, they're awesome parts. I love the prophetic call-outs. Love it. Where's the whole church? I'm getting some amens from my, I'm telling you, I was over there earlier. Now these ladies are like, yeah. Right? Where is the whole church? Where's the holistic view of Jesus? The church has enough people in it that they should be able to do that. The problem is we camp. We have that prophetic service and, oh, it felt so good. So we start to mimic that service. It's like, okay, let's do that again. Let's sing this song, and then we're going to do this, and bam, there we are. Or we do the healing thing. It's like, okay, step one, two, three. Here we're going to do step one, two, three again tomorrow. I want the same results. We're going to have the same. We start camping on the hill. I'll say we get comfortable. We get comfortable on the hill because that's a fun place. That looks fun. Looks like a fun place to be. I have news for you. And then everybody put things down that are sharp and could throw at me potentially. God isn't interested in your comfort. If God was interested in your comfort, you would not have prophetic call-outs, because that has got to be one of the most uncomfortable things in the world, to stand up and go, I'm going to have something for you right now. I like to hear from God, but I like my own timing. That's how I do it. That's awesome, though. That's one of the coolest things. You guys came into our church and did it once, too. That's awesome. God isn't interested in your comfort. He's interested in your growth. And when he expects you to grow, a lot of times he's going to lead you to uncomfortable places, right? He's going to call you to witness to uncomfortable people. He's going to call you to uncomfortable things, like walk up to a lady in Walmart and pray for her right in the middle of the store, right? And I'd like to say I'm good at that kind of stuff, but I always tell a story that one time I was at Ted's Market. If you know Pandora, Ted's Market is like, it's it, Ted's Market. But it has a gas station there, and I pulled up, and I was getting gas, and this guy pulled up next to me and on the other side, and the guy said, Jeff, go buy that man's gas. And I went, I was pumping my own gas here. That was way, this was years ago, it was way out of my comfort zone. Yeah, way years ago. And I went, how about I just pray for him instead, God? I'm going to pray for that man over there while I'm pumping my own gas. I've got to go to school lunches tomorrow. I need that $20. I'm just going to pray for him instead. See, I didn't step out of my comfort zone that day. And I always look back to that day and I go, well, I wonder what would have happened if I went over and said, listen, I don't know why. You look like you're well off. But God said I'm supposed to come over here and buy your gas. I wonder what would have happened. I have no idea. I failed. The real question shouldn't be how comfortable you are doing the work God gave you, but how you react to being uncomfortable. Do you buckle and hide? Or do you say, God, give me the strength. God, pull me through this reason. God, you chose me for a reason. You chose me, put me in this uncomfortable place at this uncomfortable time for a reason. Now, guess what? I trust you. See, trust is the number one thing I think that we struggle with on this, is that we just don't trust God sometimes, right? If we did, it'd be easy. Man, just one of my don't trust God. Every once in a while I'm in a church and no one threw anything at me. That's great. But we do, right? We need to learn how to say, God, I know this seems a little weird, but I trust you. When we put our trust in God, and when we put our trust in the fact that God knows what he's doing and knows who he is choosing to work through, then supernatural things can happen. Then we get to experience a fruitfulness like no other. So I'm just going to close. I don't know how you guys close around here, but I'm going to close with just a little prayer. I told you trusting is, to me, the key to all this. That when we feel a little uncomfortable, look at the praise and worship team's coming up and everything. I feel like I need to get a little more spiritual here. Give him a second. Justin and I go way back. Justin was like this big in Youth Explosion when we started, and now he's like, wow. But we need to trust him, right? So much of being able to have the ability to reach yourself in the fullness of God comes from simply trusting him. Trusting him that when he puts you where you are, he wants you there. Trusting him that when he has given you the task, that he has given it to you. Trusting him that when he has your back in every situation you find yourself in. Trusting him that he chose you. Trusting him that when it's easy. Trusting him when it's uncomfortable. Trusting him when it just seems impossible. That's what we need to do. So, I just wanted just to kind of pray a little bit, if that's okay. But I wanted to do it in a little bit of a different way. I'm going to pray over you. But what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. And we've got the music playing softly in the back, so it's perfect. But just close your eyes. Block out the person to your left. Block out to the person to your right. A lot of times when we pray to a God who's far off. Right? Don't we do that in our hearts? We pray to Jesus and he's like, ooh, Jesus is way away from us. What I want you to do tonight is I want you to close your eyes and I want you to picture the face of Jesus right in front of you. I want you to feel his perfect presence all around you. Just as a little activation, can you just say, Jesus, I trust you? No, let's say it a little louder. Say, Jesus, I trust you. Father God, we just come to you right now. And we feel your presence all around us. Father, we know that you have planted us here for a reason. You have put us in Marion, Ohio. You put us in Galleon, Ohio. You put us in all the surrounding areas. Father, you put me in Pandora and Columbus Grove, Father. You put us in these churches for a reason, Father. Father, we want to bear fruit for you, Father. But we know that before we can bear fruit, before we know that we can bear much fruit that lasts, Father, we need to get our roots down into something quality, Father. So, Father, tonight we just choose you. Father, not some little piece of you, Father. Father, not just the pieces that make us feel warm and fuzzy, Father, but tonight we choose you. Father, we just ask you to speak to us. We just ask you to give us the visions and the signs, Father, that we need that just tell us where to go, what to do to bear fruit, Father, so that when we're just walking down the street, Father, people see you in us. Father, I just ask you to pour out your presence so heavily on the people in this room tonight, Father, that as they even just sit in your seat, they can feel your presence on their shoulders, Father. Father, they can feel you changing them inside, Father. And that change inside would become an outward expression, Father. Father, an outward expression that just bubbles over and boils over. Father, we don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, Father, but we want to overflow with the Holy Spirit tonight, Father. Father, we want the Holy Spirit to rest so heavily on us tonight, Father, to fill us so full tonight, Father, that it just pours out. Father, that it pours out in supernatural ways. Father, to the individuals in this room that want to quit tonight, Father, I just ask you to just give them supernatural strength, Father. Father, a renewing, Father, a rejuvenating, Father. Father, the feeling that they can get you back up, Father, that they can keep going, Father, through that strength and that power that you give them and that you enable them, Father. Father, to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, I just ask that you make us one body. One body that operates together. One body that feeds off of another. So that synergistic ministry can just boil up from within our churches, Father. Father, I just thank you for this time of worship and this prophetic ministry that's going on here, Father. I just ask you just to continue to grow it, Father. Continue to just to strengthen it, enable it, and just make it bolder and more courageous, Father. I come to you right now, Father, and I thank you for this time that I get to spend with you and these great people, Father. And Father, I just right now, I just turn it over to you, Father, and I just say, we worship you. And